We are in the second week of a study series trying to learn more from the Scripture about the Holy Spirit of God, the nature of this person in the Trinity, the nature of His dealings with us, His particular ministry to us. And so we're just 2 weeks in, and it's something that I really hope can be of encouragement to you. There is so much encouraging material to learn about the Holy Spirit, and I'm really longing for it. I want you to know that I'm asking the Lord that He would bless you while we are gathered in this inquiry. Last week, just to lay a very beginning foundation, we focused on just three things. God's indwelling His people by His Spirit. What the Scripture teaches, that God lives in those who believe in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to come back to that today some more. The second thing that we had talked about is the essential role that the Holy Spirit plays in making God known, not just for information, not just that we would know about Him, but God Himself, by His Spirit, is active, powerfully, divinely, that you would know Him for faith as well, that we might believe and trust, that there might be hope happening. And we're going to touch on that in future sermons as well. Thirdly, then, from last week, I wanted to get across what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself taught us, that we need never fear that God would refuse to give His Holy Spirit to us, that we might know Him, that we might know the truth, that we might trust in Jesus, that Jesus Himself would live in our hearts. We need never fear. And we learned that from last week. But I realize that in any of these three categories, there's more to delve into. So what I'd like to spend all of our time on today is about God indwelling, the Holy Spirit of God living in His people, with His people, in His people. So let's spend our time there. Again, it's something essential to the definition of the gospel. We want to understand what goes on when God saves. The idea that there is a birth into new... excuse me. This may be difficult today. My prayer is that you can hear me. There must be a birth into the heavenly realm, so to speak. A birth. We talk about being born again. That is essential to the definition of the salvation Jesus bought on the cross. To be born again, to gain, what can we call it, a birthright into heaven. We need to be born from above, it says. John 3:6, a quote from our Lord Jesus Christ, flesh gives birth to flesh, the Spirit gives birth to spirit. As God saves, something supernatural occurs, something we cannot do ourselves. It's not about our doing at that point. A birth from above. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. To all who received Him, to all who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent. We all know what natural descent is. We're born into this world in the ordinary way. But born not of natural descent, but as He says at the end of that verse, in verse 13, born of God. Born of God. I would like to explore actually three more things today, all of them have to do with the Holy Spirit indwelling His people. The first of those three would be the encouragement that comes from what it means for relationship with God. What does indwelling mean for relationship? Number two, newness of heart. That's an awful one to say, or difficult. Newness of heart. He makes us new. And I want to talk more about that. A new disposition toward God, a new disposition toward that which is good. And number three, a true identity. And I'll use the word belonging. This idea of a birth into the heritage, a birth into a birthright into heaven or whatever. It's a familial identity and belonging of the deepest kind. And that's, I think, why it is called over and over again, a kind of birth being born into. And we'll talk about that. So three things. What it means for relationship, what it means for being made new, and number three, belonging. We'll talk about all those three things today. I think it was bringing me in this week to consider, to the Lord, to consider what His indwelling means for God's willingness to relate to you, to be in relationship with you. It speaks so much encouragement of God's willingness to be with you, that He has chosen to be in you. And I think I really long for myself to grow in that. I was benefiting from dwelling on it, spending time on it. I hope you do too today. Think about what it means that God's willing to dwell in you, be with you. It's wonderful. And I think of the way in which the Lord Jesus encouraged His disciples in the very last words of the Gospel of Matthew. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What does He mean? He also was saying just before that, I am going to be with the Father. How can it be that the Lord Jesus promised, I am with you? He does that by sending His Holy Spirit. There's much to take courage in with regard to considering God's heart in this matter, His choice in this matter. Not to reject you. Not to remain aloof from you. Not to remain alienated from you. But in Christ, and as we learn, and by His Spirit, to come to you. And we learn that with regard to Christ's own ministry. To save us, Christ came to us. God with us. Remember, He was to be called Emmanuel. God with us. And it speaks volumes that God Almighty would come and live here. To live with His people. And for Jesus Christ to take on authentic human nature and body. And to live among His people as man. It's beyond comprehension, but in an ultimate sense. But God has spoken, that the God who made all things has conveyed to us something understandable, a willingness to relate. I'm willing to be with you. And if you remember from the Revelation sermon, the culmination of it all is spoken of in the last portion of the last book of the Bible in terms of God being willing to be with His people. The Apostle John saw so much and saw so much dramatic stuff in the visions that he was shown in Revelation. But it all culminates in this, a vision that he was shown in chapter 21 and verse 3. Now the dwelling of God is with men. It was as though John had seen it all. And seen it all come to its fulfillment. How did it, was it described? Now the dwelling of God is with the men and He'll live with them. They will be His people. And God Himself will be their God. The idea God with us is at the heart of this gospel. The heart of the message. God revealing to you His willingness in spite of our sin. And because of His gift of Christ and all that Christ suffered on our behalf. To be with you, to take you as His own. Wonderful. But see, that also is manifest in the Holy Spirit. We know so clearly how Christ's life conveys that message to us, but it is also evident in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, when Jesus said, I am with you always, to the end of the age, he does that. Until we see the Lord face to face, you know, how is he with us? By his indwelling Holy Spirit. There's one sense in which you could sort of theoretically talk about God being with us at our side, even if you didn't think about the Holy Spirit. You could say, well, God's omnipresent, right? He can hear my prayers, so he's with me. But it's striking to me that in the Scripture, God wanted to make it more pointed than that. You know, not just that I'm omnipresent, not just that I can hear everything. He sent his Spirit to us. He makes his home with us. He chooses to live in us. And therein lies encouragement for walking each day in faith. The willingness of God to be with you. Now, I don't know if I've thought about it as much as I could benefit from thinking. And that's why I'm holding it forward to you today. To think of it in that way. Through faith in Jesus Christ and all that's resolved by way of that alienation, through Christ's death, he is willing to be with and in you. And it's a mercy, it's a lifting to me to realize that God is willing to be with me in that way. I'd like to read from the Gospel of John chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14, and beginning at verse 15. There's a lot in here, by the way. We can't touch on everything that's in here. But I'm really convinced that this was written to encourage the disciples who would very shortly, I mean, we're getting toward the end of Jesus' time with his disciples, to encourage them when Jesus was physically returning, you know, to heaven, raised from the dead and returning to the Father. And also to encourage those who had placed their hope in him, those whose hearts had been made ready to obey, who had received Jesus for who he really was. Sometime I think we need to talk more about how the work of the Holy Spirit is necessary to prepare a heart to receive Jesus for who he really is, to prepare our heart to obey. But for now, let me just read these verses with regard to Jesus' encouragement of them. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. If you love me, this is Jesus' own words, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you'll realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. There'd be a lot to talk about. in there. But did you see, let me draw your attention to one thing. Did you see how Jesus said, we will come and make our home with the one who loves Jesus? We, Jesus himself and God the Father, we will come and make our home. It's one of those mysteries of the Trinity. But we know something about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that he is the way in which God is present with you. And that Jesus Christ, you can say it very accurately, Jesus Christ is present with you by the Holy Spirit in accord with those words. And I thought in this very passage about the ways in which the Spirit ministers. God with us and in us so that we might know God's love. God with us and in us so that we might have his counsel. God with us and in us to lead us into the truth. God with us and in us so that we might know that Jesus hasn't left us as orphans. God with us and in us to minister the peace that Jesus spoke of. And so I think what I'm hoping for is that you can believe his presence in accord with what he's revealed. To walk in a constant manner, day by day, saying, the Lord is with me, in the person of his Holy Spirit. Willing, I think. Because of what Christ has done, willing to be there for me, there with me, there alongside me to counsel, there to work with me, to refine me, to build me up, to strengthen me. There's so much that we'll learn about the Lord's assignment, which is given through the Spirit, his strengthening to do it, all those things. So there's as much to learn. Hebrews 13:5. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He ministers that truth and he ministers that reality to us by his Spirit. Let's move on to the idea of being made new. Again, God's presence by his Spirit is relational. When we hear the words that he is with us, with you, we can be encouraged. But he is also, and that's all I want to do is expand. He is also acts when he saves. Acts with divine power to give you newness. Newness of life and newness of heart. Scripture uses a number of phrases to describe that, right? We know born again. Born of God. Born of the Spirit. Born by the power of the Spirit. New creation. Or one of the most precise wordings of all in Ephesians 3:16. His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. His Spirit in your inner being. It is fellowship. And I want to begin there, that he is willing to be with. It is fellowship, very encouragingly fellowship. It involves also supernatural change. There is something new about those who believe in Jesus Christ. How is that described in Scripture? It's the only way we're going to get to know what it means to be new, to be made new in Christ. And I'll relate a number of Scriptures. In Colossians 2:13, the Apostle Paul wrote, when you were dead in your sins, and he goes on, God made you alive. When you were dead, God made you alive. A similar wording in John 6:63 and a couple of other passages. We hear these words, the Spirit gives life. Excuse me. Thank you, Kathy. The contrast, you were dead. The Spirit gives life. That must be that life of the eternal kind. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Ephesians 2:10 uses this wording, created in Christ to do good works. Not just influenced as though from the outside, persuaded to do a little better, right? Created in Christ to do good works. That seems to be Scripture's wording. Something divine, something supernatural, a new creation. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 4:24, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There's something going on here. We're not just talking about influence, not just talking about persuasion. We are talking about an act of divine power. I've really benefited from the wording of the canons of Dort, and I think they are helpful. They say this, it is evidently a supernatural work, most powerful, at the same time most delightful, astonishing, mysterious, and ineffable, not inferior in efficacy to creation or the resurrection from the dead. What happens when God grants life in Christ by faith? What happens when He saves? Something not inferior to creation, not inferior to the resurrection from the dead. Good wording, I think, from the canons of Dort. Listen to these words through the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Ezekiel. God spoke about what He would do, and you understand this whole history of the salvation becoming known plays out over many, some hundreds and hundreds of years. In the prophet Jeremiah, prophet Ezekiel, God let us know the nature of what He would do through His Messiah and through the salvation. Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them a heart to know Me. How about that? I will give them a heart to know Me, that I am the Lord. They will be My people. I'll be their God, for they will return to Me with all their heart. But you see what's happening? How importantly does He say, how important is it to say it in that way? I will give them a heart to know Me. And then through the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put My Spirit in you. A new heart. A different disposition toward God, toward what is good. There's so much that's involved there. Doesn't the Scripture say of the Holy Spirit's ministry, He will convict the world? The fact that a heart would actually discern sin and repent. I will give you a new heart. I'll give you a heart to know Me. These are the things that are the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. I've thought of it this way, and you've heard me relate even last week. One of my favorite passages, because I think it explains to us in measure what is He doing when He is divinely making Himself known for the believing. 2 Corinthians 4:6, God made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Not only to know about God, but to know Him as He is. To know Him for the glory that He is. That the light that He is would shine in the heart in such a way that the heart would see it and believe. And I think that is, I love that passage. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Take it home to the bank. There's another important thing here that I want to relate. All of these blessings of the Holy Spirit, the being made new and all of these things, and to know His presence and to know Him as good and all of those things, they are described in Scripture as appropriated by faith. In the function of believing, the function of trusting. And our ongoing instructions, how do you live your life then, are always given to us in that manner. A new self has been given. A new self has been created. Put on the new self. That's how the Scripture instructs us. Life has been given. Life of a heavenly kind. Therefore, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. I will put a new spirit in you, God said. Live by the Spirit. And that's how the Scripture instructs us for a daily walk. Our interaction with all of these things is meant to be an interaction by faith, trusting Him about the realities He describes. And that does not diminish, I believe, the fact that every one of these things is a gift from Him. All that I've described is a gift from Him. And I would say it this way, faith interaction is only possible because they are actually given and made effectual by God's power and His grace. You can't live by a spirit you don't have. Does that make sense? Live by the Spirit, it says. Live by the Spirit. How are you going to do that? He gives of His Spirit. We are called upon to embrace and to hope in things described to us as given things and to live that way. The instruction is never recreate yourself. Right? I make you a new creation. This instruction is never recreate yourself. If you do that adequately enough, perhaps we'll call you new. You know, the instruction is never if you are successful enough in getting rid of your earthly nature, perhaps we'll call you heavenly. The instruction is never if you do enough of what you know the Spirit of God would want you to do, perhaps He'll endow you with a portion of Himself. It goes the other way around, and it's a lot better hope. Does that make sense? It's a lot better hope. I have given you of my Spirit. Live by the Spirit. I have made you new. Put off the old. That's the way the Scripture talks to us about daily life in the Gospel. Finally, then, the matter of belonging. So we're having three things today. The idea, first of all, of relationship. He's willing to be with us and in us. Secondly, the matter of, to get them in brief, I lost my list. Bus, I know the mind going blank thing. It only happens up here. new, being made new. That's the number two that I just spoke out for about 20 minutes. But thirdly, belonging. You'd heard me speak at the beginning of the concept of a birthright to heaven. To belong. To be an authentic member. One who should be counted among those who belong to heaven. Hear again the same words from the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12. And I want you to hear this for your encouragement. To all who received Him. You see, all who received Jesus. To all who received Him. To those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent. And it goes on at the end of that verse, but born of God. To all who believed in Jesus, He gave that they should be children born of God. You needn't fear that this wouldn't happen. Trust Jesus Christ. He gives His Spirit. It's what the salvation is made of. The work of the Spirit in regeneration, again, that's another word that's the right to use, to be born again, to be regenerate, has to do with belonging. Have you ever associated those two really directly? To be born again is to be born to belong. And born into the heritage, birth into the family of God, so to speak. By the act of God's Holy Spirit, we become the heirs. that the Scripture describes that we are. Sons, daughters of God. Remember that our most recent memory verse before the one we introduced today spoke of being given birth into an inheritance. It says He's given us birth into a living hope. It also says He's given us birth into an inheritance. New Testament, book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 reads this way. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Have you ever connected the idea of being born again with becoming an heir, a son? If it's that kind of birth that we're talking about, as well as the birth of newness and all of that. And it's for this reason that I will teach boldly. You cannot lose salvation when God gives it. I don't know if that's the best way to say it. But what God gives, He gives in this manner. What He gives when He saves is birth as a child of His own. He does not take that back. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us His Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He don't say He takes that back. He's given us a deposit guarantee, but He might take that back. Ephesians 1, verse 13. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing the inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Believing in Jesus Christ, by His grace, you are God's possession from now and forever. Forever. You need never fear. Have you feared? Have you feared at any time? The kind of birth He gives is a birth into His family. A son, a daughter. And then here finally, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Three things then today for your encouragement. By God's grace, may He encourage you in them. Relationship. God is willing to relate with us, to be with us. Being made new. When He saves, He transforms. And number 3, belonging. When He saves, He gives that kind of birth